welcome to Travelets Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every Thursday at 8 Eastern Time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat, wear, or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out our show later on Facebook on blogtalkradio.com or on my website, danschlossberg.net. If you wish to speak with us on the air, here's the number, 914-338-0314. That's 914-338-0314. But try to keep your call concise if you can. We appreciate it. My special guest tonight in the 310th edition of Travelets Radio is travel journalist and broadcaster Anita Stokes-Thomas. Welcome, Anita, not only to tonight's episode, but to your new role as co-host of Travelets Radio. I'm truly honored and happy to have you.
Well, thank you so much. I am truly honored to be asked to be your co-host, so thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you. Same to you. First of all, Anita, welcome. We're starting the 8th season of Travelets and are thrilled to have you. So please share a little of your background with our listeners. I'm curious myself, how did you get into travel journalism and especially into travel broadcasting?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story for me because I just happened to be working in this program where there was a manager of business development for the local radio station here in Gainesville, Georgia, nearby where I live. And he'd always wanted a travel radio show and asked me if I was interested. And, of course, I jumped to that because I love to travel, like talking, but more than even all of that, I love encouraging and inspiring other people to travel. So it was just the perfect combination of all things coming together at the right time.
Well, tell us a little bit about your own print and broadcast outlets as well.
Well, I'm on the radio station, WDUN in Gainesville, and that particular station has broadcast signals pretty extensive. They go into North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Georgia, and the Atlanta metro area as well. So very extensive reach there. And I'm on Saturdays, and I talk about everything travel. So I love talking about destinations. I love talking about food and culture. And I love getting the stories of local people and hearing their stories as to why they maybe still live in their ancestral home or the places where they grew up or where their families called home for so many years. So I love those kind of stories. And we talk about all of that on my show, which is called Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. And it's all about packing your bags and taking a trip.
And you're just like me. You love history, and I love history, too. And we often talk about history in Travelets Radio. We've just started a new year when everybody wants to start fresh. Are there places on your bucket list that you hope to see this year?
Oh, well, now, you know, Jan, if you ask an avid traveler that question, they can really get going with that, and I certainly can. There's so many places that I want to go, and I'm one of these people that I don't have the list where I check off, and once I've gone there, I'm kind of done with it. I can go back to a destination time and time again, and I'm really hoping to get over to Africa this year. I really, really would love to go to Rwanda, back to Ghana, and maybe even South Africa. And maybe I should say R, because I know those are three really big trips. So I don't know if I can say and, you know, going to all three of those places. But I really would love to get back to Ghana, back to South Africa, and visit Rwanda for the first time. Because you're really starting to hear a lot about Rwanda and it becoming a place where people are going now to visit, to see the gorillas and to do hiking and all these really kind of adventure type activities there in Rwanda. So I would love to go check it out myself.
Anita, you've been doing this for a long time, so please share some of your favorite memories, best places, best airlines, and best restaurants for starters.
Well, of course, Pan American World Airways would be best airline because I worked with them as a flight attendant and a trainer for 13 years. So I loved every minute of it. I had the opportunity to travel all over the world, meet people of different cultures, enjoy various foods around the world. I mean, it was really a fantastic job. It was like a lifestyle job, really. I mean, it was really fantastic. And whenever someone asks me about, like, best cities or favorite cities, Hong Kong is the one that always comes to mind. I think I like it because of some of the same things that people may not like about it. The busyness, the, you know, all the people, the, you know, all the different places where you can go and have meals right there. Really, really very good Chinese cuisine. It's just one of those high energy places that even when I start talking about it, I start getting excited. So definitely Hong Kong.
Okay, we're talking with veteran travel journalist Anita Stokes-Thomas. Anita, do you find it's getting harder to travel, or do you believe that getting there is still half the fun?
Well, I do find it a little harder to get there. I mean, I still think that part of the trip is the journey, and it really depends on how you're traveling. I mean, certainly, if you're traveling by air, you know, there are a lot more steps that we have to go through now than, say, when I was flying with Pan Am. I mean, we pretty much just went through pretty simple security, and we were there on the plane. And now, of course, you know, you have to go through pretty extensive security. But if you're traveling by car, I mean, that's still very fun. So there are lots of different ways to travel, by train, and train is still a great way to travel. So I think the journey still can definitely be part of the fun, absolutely.
And even though you live in Atlanta, our paths have crossed at some of the major travel events, from Powwow to International Media Marketplace, and at meetings of organizations like NAJDA, the North American Travel Journalists Association. Do you find going to such events and belonging to groups of like-minded people aids your professional development?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I really love going to those type of events, especially the professional organizations, because I love the networking. I also find that I learn a lot from my colleagues. And the professional organizations like NACJA, like the North American Travel Journalists Association, that's where we met, actually. So you can see how it can lead to collaborations with your colleagues and your ability to do some other things and expand your reach with your own brand. So absolutely, I love it.
And everybody who does any amount of traveling encounters embarrassing moments, some of which you might want to share on the air. But if you can think of one or two for our listeners, I'm sure they would love to hear your stories.
Well, I think the most embarrassing thing that happened to me as a travel expert, I was leaving out of Sweden, and at the security check-in, they had already said, you know, you can't have these large size soft drinks. And I didn't think anything about it because I wouldn't have anything like that in my bag. But actually, I had forgotten that I had a 20-ounce Coke in my bag. And when I got there, with lots of people standing around knowing that I'm a travel journalist and a radio host, there the security guy pulls out this super oversized Coca-Cola, and I was like, truly embarrassed. But everyone is looking at me. How could you possibly have not something liquid in your bag, but a huge bottle of something liquid in your bag?
That's a good point. Anita, travel writing is hardly heavily dependent on the weather, but sometimes I feel like my own little black cloud is following me around. But I also owe my career to a blizzard. I got caught in the blizzard of 66 as a college freshman trying to get to Syracuse, wrote about it for my hometown newspaper in New Jersey, and they offered me a summer intern's job 3 months later when I was 17. Did you have a lucky break somewhere along the way too?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, really my kind of itch for travel really started with listening to stories that my father would tell about when he was in the Army during World War II. And he would talk about, you know, the cobblestone streets in the European cities or little cafes in France. And just I was really very intrigued. And at our home, there was always the latest National Geographic magazine on the coffee table. So there was always something about travel that was kind of around. But one of the things I think that really, really pushed me forward in my career when I was with Pan Am is that I had the opportunity to work in the training department. And I think that just really kind of sealed for me, really, the feeling of contributing more than just flying around and being a flight attendant. But here I was able to help new flight attendants also advance in their career. So that was a lucky break for me, and I hope a lucky break for those I was able to help.
Well, speaking of weather, as I did before, during my travels, I've survived 3 earthquakes, a tornado, a flood on a desert island, snow in the Bahamas, and a 4-hour delay because of fog in Phoenix. I'm just hoping Mount Rainier doesn't erupt the next time I'm in Seattle. Have you been a little luckier with Mother Nature than I have?
I've been in a couple of monsoons flying in and out of India. I was in Mexico for a earthquake several years ago, not the recent one that happened last year. So I've had to deal with Mother Nature a little bit also. And, of course, those delays are always no fun when Mother Nature decides that she's going to put a little bit of weather in between you and your destination. That's no fun.
That's true. Actually, one of the NAGDA conventions experienced an earthquake. When we were in Anaheim, I think it was 2009, there was a 3.5 earthquake at 3 o'clock in the morning. I felt it, but most of the people didn't feel it. But some of the others did feel it. There was a 3.5 earthquake during the NAGDA convention. So that was kind of something to talk about at breakfast.
Well, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really remember the earthquake in Mexico. I mean, I was in my bed sleeping. You feel this kind of shake. It was the first time I had experienced an earthquake. And we've been trained that you jump up from whatever you're doing and you stand in the door frame. So I was doing that, but went down to the lobby and there was a guy walking through with a lion. So I don't know where he had
a lion.
Yes, a lion walking through the lobby. So it was really pretty interesting. So I was kind of taken aback by that, but it was too much excitement going on to really be afraid of the earthquake.
Oh, I can understand that. I was actually in one in Washington, D.C. in 2011, August of 2011. It was a 5.8 earthquake epicentered in Northern Virginia, and it was pretty serious, especially in Washington. You don't expect earthquakes there. And everything was shaking. A whole National Mall was closed down. All the museums were shut down. The metro stopped running. It was quite an experience.
Yeah, I mean, weather can really give you some stories to tell. I mean, not so long ago, I was stuck I was leaving out of Portland, Maine, trying to get back to Atlanta, and there was a rainstorm that was actually happening in the Atlanta area. So sometimes these weather events don't even have to be happening where you are, but they can be happening where you're trying to get to, or the airplane that's coming to get you, you know, is delayed because of the weather. So Mother Nature can really put a little snafu in our travel plan sometimes.
One more story in the same subject. I was in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City. And I looked up at the clouds. There were a lot of cumulus clouds around, but it was a fair day. And I said to the PR person who was hosting the press trip, what are the chances of getting a tornado? Oh, she said, nothing. These are normal clouds. So after the dinner theater performance was near an end that night, I heard a lot of rumbling. It sounded like thunder right through the building. And they announced, this is a tornado warning. It is not a watch. It is a warning. Stay in the building. You're safer here. But I had a limo that was going to take me back to Kansas City to my hotel. And the driver said, you want to stay or you want to make a run for it? I said, get me out of here. So we ran and drove and tried to get back to Kansas City in the middle of a tornado warning. And I've never seen such lightning in my life. Pretty scary.
Yeah, I don't like the lightning, especially when you are, if you're flying. I don't like that so much.
Oh, yeah. But you live in Georgia, so you should be used to lightning.
Used to lightning, and we've had some earthquakes as well. We recently had an earthquake, and I didn't feel it, but it was reported that some people did. So it was in the middle of the night or early morning, and it actually was felt by lots of people. So Georgia can get some crazy weather. And, of course, when we get snow, the city shuts down. So anyone traveling by car or by bus may have a little bit of a delay if they're coming through Atlanta during a snowstorm. But hey, we like the hot weather here in Georgia.
Well, I know all about the snow and ice in Atlanta because I remember years ago, my favorite baseball player of all time, Hank Aaron, slipped on the ice in a rare ice storm in Atlanta, and I think he broke his hip. He's still walking around with a walker.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Yeah. No, not at all. And here's this great athlete, one of the greatest athletes of all time, and suddenly, you know, he's disabled permanently, so it happens. Anyway, we're talking with veteran travel journalist Anita Stokes Thomas, and you're listening to Travelitz Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travelitz Radio on Facebook, and we're also on iTunes. Anita, you've traveled all over the world, especially when you worked for Rosenbluth International Travel. Wasn't your job training the staff and leadership skills then, too?
Yes, it seems as though most of my careers have been connected to travel because if people are not familiar with Rosenbluth, Rosenbluth was a travel management company. So we basically did business travel for the large corporations like Chevron, Toyota, the really large corporations for their staff when they were traveling. And I was hired to train the new leaders in management and leadership skills. Because what would happen is an employee would be really good at doing their job. So someone would say, well, you're really good with doing your job task. You should be a leader. And then would be promoted into a leadership role, but without the training. So they would struggle with how to manage the performance of their team. So I was hired to set up this team leader training. I took it all around the world to all of our offices all around the world. And it was a fantastic job. And for me, it was fulfilling because I could actually see that I was making a difference in the work life of those leaders and their teams as well. So absolutely, that was one of the highlights, I think, of my career, was working with them.
Well, you talked about traveling all around the world. Isn't travel tougher for a woman traveling alone, especially for an American woman overseas? And how do you overcome that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Travel can be a little tougher. But, you know, there are a lot of women that are out there traveling solo. So I don't want to have women listening and thinking, oh, well, maybe it's not a good idea to travel. You definitely just need to prepare for that and think of all of the things that you would need to do for yourself. You don't have a travel companion, you know, traveling along with you. But you can do that. I mean, there's no problem with that at all. And just lots of planning, lots of preparation. I always say if you're traveling alone, you definitely want to leave your itinerary at home with family or friends so that someone knows exactly where you are to be and check in, you know, from here, you know, from different places so that people know that you have arrived and that you're doing okay. Because you don't want your family and friends worrying about you back at home. Because usually when you're traveling solo, you're doing fine. But the people back at home are worried that you may be encountering these difficult situations. So keep everyone at ease and get out and be adventurous. And, hey, if you want to travel alone, good. But you can also meet travel partners along the way. That works as well.
Well, that leads to our next question. Do you prefer to travel alone in groups, on press trips, or with friends and family?
You know, Dan, I say all of the above. I just love to travel. So I can travel in groups. I love doing press trips because, again, we're usually doing those with our colleagues. And the majority of the travel that I do now is related to my job. So they are press trips. So when people hear me traveling week after week, it is for work. There is fun involved in it, but it is work. So those are press trips. But I really enjoy traveling with friends. I'm doing a series on my radio show, Travel Bags with Anita Now, that's all about traveling with friends and how that really does enrich your trips that you're doing, having friends there, because you get a chance to see a different perspective and try different things. So maybe something that you are not that familiar with or maybe you're not that fond of, they may be able to give you a new perspective on it. So I really enjoy traveling with friends, and I put family in there as well with that type of travel. So alone, I've done that. I've done it with groups. I've done press trips, friends, family. I've done it all, Dan. Just give me travel.
Me too. Anita, you live in Atlanta, and you worked for the Convention and Visitors Bureau there. Tell us about your experiences with the first Atlanta World Series, the first Atlanta Super Bowl, and the 1996 Olympics.
I was with the Convention and Visitors Bureau during, I would say, one of the most exciting times here in Atlanta because all of those things kind of happen around the same time. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, of course, is the organization that helps people that are coming to visit. So it can be businesses, families coming for reunions, or sporting events, which I know you like those Atlanta Braves. It was really a great time to be there. But I was there during the time leading up to preparing for the Olympics. So there were quite a few years of preparation leading up to the Olympics. It doesn't just kind of happen. There are years and years of advanced preparation leading up to the Olympics. And during those years, Atlanta was really lucky to host the first Super Bowl for Atlanta. And then also the Braves were in the World Series. So it was the first World Series in Atlanta with the Atlanta Braves. So it was an exciting time. There was lots of sporting events going on. It was a perfect place to be for those sports lovers like yourself, Dan.
Well, I was covering some of those games, and I really, really enjoyed it as a baseball fan. And to me, Anita, I like travel because I like variety, which is the spice of life, just as no two snowflakes are alike, no two trips are the same, not even when you're at the same hotel in the same destination. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I know the catchphrase is bucket list, and usually people are thinking, you know, these places that they want to go, you know, while they still can, and you check those places off. But I want to go back as many times as I have the opportunity. My husband and I, each year, we love to go to Hawaii. So we go every year, and some people may think, well, why are you not going back to the same place? But every time we go, just like you mentioned, it's like a snowflake. There's going to be something different. We're going to try a different food, see something different going on, go to a different attraction, and we go in and we hang out with our friends. So it's just a great opportunity to really just do all of what makes travel such a great experience.
We're talking with veteran travel journalist, my friend, Anita Stokes Thomas. Anita, if you're like me, you have some pet peeves. On the road, my number one is lack of quiet. It's got to be pitch black and quiet for me to sleep, and I often travel with a white noise machine. I also appreciate free Wi-Fi, a room refrigerator and microwave, garbage pails that are bigger than ashtrays, and having a comfortable bathtub for my knees, something that seems to be going the way of the rotary phone. And I resent resort fees as much as airline baggage fees. How about your take?
Oh, well, you got me there with the resort fees. I just cannot. Well, first of all, I don't really even understand the necessity of those, except that I know that they're making money from them. But those resort fees just seem to be just a nuisance, along with baggage fees. But my pet peeve is not having overhead space in my seat, right above my seat. I really, really do not like to have to go further back in the airplane to stow my bag in the overhead compartment. So that can be a little pet peeve for me, that one. But pretty much I'm usually pretty laid back with travel. So try not to have too many pet peeves because travel can be so unpredictable. But there are a few things like the resort fees and baggage fees and those overhead bins that can really get me in a little tizzy.
Well, another thing, we're talking about airlines. How about airlines charging for better seats, even though the seats are the exact same dimensions?
Well, the exact same dimension, except now they seem to be getting smaller and smaller, but we're having to pay more and more for them. So they need to just stop that. There's some more fees that are, I don't think, are necessary.
And the next thing you'll be hearing is they'll be charging for you using the restroom on the plane, too.
I would not be surprised. There'll be a little coin. You have to put a little coin in order to open the door.
You'll have to swipe before you wipe.
Yes, exactly.
Or maybe after you
exactly.
wipe.
Well, hopefully.
Anyway, did something happen in your youth that made you fall in love with travel? You mentioned your dad's World War II stories.
Well, yes, absolutely, because he loved telling the stories. And my sister and I would just, you know, sit and listen to the stories and, you know, we'd ask questions, but I could picture all of the things that he was saying. So I would just visualize those little cobblestone streets or little cool cafes that he talked about. And he also would talk about the people that he would meet and the different cultures and the languages. And he just created really the picture of it. He was really good with telling the story of the places that he went. So when I had the opportunity to start flying with Pan Am at a pretty young age, right out of college, I jumped on that opportunity because I wanted to go and see those places myself. So definitely inspired by my father's stories. And also when I was a kid, we traveled a lot. My father was from Florida, so we would go down to Florida for summer vacations. And my father also was a principal of a school. So he would recruit teachers, and we would travel around to different states. So I did a little bit of traveling, especially around the Southeast, with him to recruit teachers. So I felt that travel was definitely just kind of in my blood, and I definitely had the itch for it.
Yeah, me too. I want to ask you about certain types of travel. I know you have a dog because it barked earlier in the broadcast. I have one too. Do you ever travel with the dog?
I do. I go down to the coast of Georgia quite a bit. And I usually take the dogs with me. Actually, that's where they're from. I have three dogs, and they're from the coast of Georgia. So I throw them in the truck, and they, you know, come along with me. Or I have one dog that's like my special baby. I know I should not have a favorite, but I have two. If, in in honesty here, I do have one that travels with me a little bit more. And he and I will hit the road sometimes. And I love doing shows also to share with other people who love traveling with their dogs some of the tips and things that I've found that work for me. So absolutely, I love traveling with dogs. And that's becoming more of a thing. I mean, you're seeing more people who are doing that, more opportunities for people to stay with their dogs at different accommodations when they travel. So if you have a dog, don't let that keep you from getting out there traveling. Take the dog along with you.
Totally agree. How about train travel? We talked about airlines.
But it's been a while since I've done train travel. I would put that on my list of things that I want to do this year. I would love to do a train trip, a press trip where I can go and actually interview some of the people that work on the train, get their stories. I think that would be a fantastic show to do something like that. I love it.
Me too. And that hooks into my last question, which is historic travel. I love historic hotels of America and anything to do with history, like museums. How about you? Are you big on history and historic travel?
Oh, I love history, and I've started a podcast called Quarter Miles Travel, which is based on the U.S. Mint State Quarters that have those designs on the back for each of the states. And when I do that podcast, it is all about history and what historic events or places are so important that you put it on the back of a quarter. So I love that kind of history, especially digging and finding the unusual history that may be attached to some of the things that we think we already know that history. But then you find something different, something new, something unusual that you didn't know, and it gives you a whole new perspective on the history that you thought you already knew.
And Anita, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to add?
No, you've been really, really pretty thorough. I think the listeners probably have a pretty good idea of who I am and what I'm all about, and which is, you know, of course, really similar to you. We both love travel. And we love coming back and sharing it with people to inspire them to put down those glossy pamphlets and brochures and go out and have your own adventure, take your own pictures, and come back and share that with your friends and loved ones back at home.
I totally agree with that. And I want to thank you very much and let our listeners know again that Anita Stokes-Thomas, whom you've heard tonight, is the new co-host of Travel It Radio. You'll be hearing from her every week, except when she's off in some exotic place and can't be on the air with us. So we look forward to a lot more great shows. Thank you, Anita, so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and our special guest tonight has been the beautiful and talented Anita Stokes-Thomas, who will make her official debut next week as co-host of Travel It Radio. Our guest next week will be Lauren Simpson of the Long Beach, California Convention and Visitors Bureau. And that's it for this edition of Travel It Radio. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg along with Anita Stokes-Thomas saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.